Amen. Praise the Lord for that message and song as well. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John, the Gospel of John in chapter 10, I'm just going to be reading two verses here, and a very familiar verse that I think it you will recognize, no doubt. Powerful lesson and that God has given to us through these two verses. John chapter 10. If you would, go ahead and are able to do so, go ahead and stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're just going to read verse 9 and verse 10, John chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Life more abundantly. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, what a blessing it has already been just being assembled together here in your name to be ministered to through our presence here. And your presence here, working through the congregational music as well as the special music, and we thank you for it. But now, Father, as we have looked into your word that you preserve for us, and we've just looked at these two verses in the midst of the teachings of Christ, and I pray, God, that you would open up our hearts and minds so that we each and every one would be receptive to what you have for us individually and what you have for us collectively to receive from these verses. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again, that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Life more abundant. Getting the most out of it is basically what Jesus is referring to here concerning life, is so that we would be able to get the most out of the life that God has given to us. Life means different things to different people at different ages. Life. All receive it the very same way. Everyone in here, you have life or you wouldn't be able to be here. And everyone here received life the very same way. We study the Bible, we know it, because the Bible reveals much about the beginning of all things and takes us through until the end of all things. But we find here that the Bible, very clearly, if we study the Word of God, reveals that life was given by God in creation. It's where life come from. All life has been created by God, and whether it be animals, which is different from human, spiritual, any kind of life that you can think of, life comes from God. Spiritual life was lost after the fall of Adam. And then given back to all who would look to Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, They looked to Jesus before he would even come, but have faith in his coming as the Messiah, as the Savior. And then in the New Testament, when he was here, all that looked to him and believed on him to be the Messiah, while he walked on the face of the earth some 2,000 years ago, he gave them back spiritual life. The life that they had lost. They still had physical life, but they had lost spiritual life, and they were born with the loss of spiritual life. But he gave it back and reconciled them to God, which allowed them to have spiritual life when he was here. And then after his ascension back to heaven, he has been giving it back to all who would just simply call upon his name. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And being saved means that you have been restored to a relationship with God, which is spiritual life. Physical life, as we all know this, is given in the womb and produces an eternal soul in the womb of every mother. Each one of us were there at some point. And in the womb, we were given life. And as we were given life, that life had an eternal soul. Comes from the womb. The devil has a stronghold on physical life because of a sin nature. Now, everybody following me here with me, because this is basic stuff, but you need to understand this to understand the message. We are born, we are given physical life in the womb. And with that physical life, an eternal soul, because it's a life that's still created after the image and likeness of God, which is eternal. But as we are born, because of Adam's sin, sin has passed upon all men. That means that we are born with a sin nature. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We sin because of a sin nature, which we're born with. So as we're born, we have an eternal soul, and we have physical life, but we lost the spiritual life. But God wants to give it back to us. Jesus came to reconcile us to God, to redeem us, to justify us. In John 10 and verse 10, we find that there is a hindrance and a help to life. Satan, as a thief, wants to steal, kill, and destroy life. He's here in this world to do those things. And yet Jesus came. The Bible says the thief cometh. He's here. He came. And he came to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come. Jesus came that they, humanity, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to set us free from the bondage of sin, which enslaves us, which allows Satan to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus came to set us free and to give us spiritual life, which is abundant life. Spiritual life allows us to get all that God has for us to get out of this life. When Jesus came knowing man's spiritual life was dead. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." That word quickens me to be made alive because you were dead. For you to be saved and experience spiritual life, you have to be aware of your need to be saved. And seeing yourself as a sinner on his way to a devil's hell because of the wages of sin. So Jesus came knowing man's spiritual life was dead, and he came to quicken us or make us alive. This begins when a person gets saved. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, and it's only through Jesus Christ. It's the only door of salvation. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Spiritual life regained. Spiritual life given back to all who would believe and receive. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Now, it's not talking about physical life, because you had physical life when you were in the womb. You were given physical life when you were born, and with that physical life you have an eternal soul, but you were spiritually dead. I do believe in the age of accountability, that children are under a grace period until they come to the place of awareness of sin. I believe the Bible teaches that. And when they come to a place of awareness of sin, they must make a choice in what they'll do with Jesus Christ, whether you receive Jesus Christ and have everlasting life or reject Jesus Christ and live a life without spirituality, without genuine spirituality. Without a walk with God, without knowing God the Father as God the Father wants us to know him. The only way that we can know God the Father and have a relationship with God the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. And you have to be saved. Go through the door to have a relationship with God the Father, which is spiritual life, which is abundant life. Spiritual life here is just a down payment and what it will be like in glory. When you experience the joy and the blessings of spiritual life, genuine spiritual life here, can I tell you, it's just a down payment. It's just a glimpse of what life is going to be in glory or in heaven for an eternity. Ephesians in chapter 1, let me read this to you, write it down, go there if you like. But Ephesians in chapter 1, this is what Paul helps the Ephesian believers to understand, and God's preserved it for us to be helped by it as well. But Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 9, it says this, "Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, Jesus Christ, that in the dispensation, in the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. He's going to do that. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. When the rapture takes place, the heaven and earth, those that have gone on before us, and then those that remain here, we're going to be brought together in Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is this is going to take place, basically, is what he's saying there, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. That's what allows you to be able to have a relationship with God and to be to the praise of his glory, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. You heard about that, you believed in that, in whom also after that you believed in the gospel, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Which when you get saved, you have the Spirit of God coming to dwell within you, seals you unto that day of the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment, a taste of our inheritance. Because our inheritance as born-again believers is heaven. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I don't know. I trust you're getting a hold of this and you're following me, because this is that's shouting stuff right there. If you're saved. The message I want you to leave here with today is abundant life is getting all there is out of this life in preparation for glory. Are we doing that? That's abundant life. Getting all there is out of this life. We all have life. You're breathing today. You walked in to this auditorium. You have life. But how meaningful is it? How do you view it? What are you doing with it? Jesus says, there's a hindrance and there's a help to abundant life. Are we allowing Satan to hinder us more than we're allowing Christ to give us and help us live life abundantly? Next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching on this very same topic, on overcoming Satan's attempts to hinder the life that God has for me to live. We're not ignorant of his devices, but you have to be aware of his devices. And you have to want the help that God has for us to get the most out of the life that we live here in preparation for our life in heaven. Yeah. If my life on this earth were to come to an end today, if your life that you're living right now were to come to an end today, how important would what I'm living for be? Are you blinded to the importance of this life and the brevity of this life versus heaven? If my life on this earth were to end today, would those things that you're living for be as important to you as they are today? Or would they just be something that's there, but not really what I'm living for? We have to be living this life and getting all there is out of this life if we look to God and understanding the spiritual life that is here today, but it's only just a down payment. And we're going to live in eternity, a spiritual life with God in heaven. Are we putting more emphasis on the temporal and not enough on the eternal? Spiritual life is abundant life, and that's what matters. We hear all this all the time. These lives matter, and these lives matter, and this life matters, and it matters here, it matters there. Can I tell you what matters most in life is spiritual life? If humanity had the kind of life, the abundant life that God wants humanity to have, there would be unity in our land. If everyone had the same kind of spiritual life that God wants us to have, can I tell you that we would be a very powerful people? There would not be any murders and rapes and all the different things that are going on. But that's not the case. And it's not the case because humanity is not putting the emphasis on spiritual life that God would have us to put on spiritual life, because spiritual life is what matters the most and will make the most difference in your life, my life, in the world. The main hindrance to abundant spiritual life is sin. I mean, clearly understood, sin. Because that's exactly what Satan works through. And sin will kill, steal, and destroy life. It will. The lost who do not go through the door, who have not received Jesus Christ as Savior, are still dead in their trespasses and sins. And without having those forgiven and cleansed and washed, will continue to allow sin to reign. And as sin reigns in their lives, it will lead to a life without a genuine walk with God. From time to time, the world might think that life is good, especially if you're very successful in this life. It's what you're living for because of career, money, things. But it's only temporal. No matter how good you think it is, it's only temporal. And you will have to face the tragedies of life, because there are tragedies. The life that we're living here now because of sin and how sin impacts other people, All the world is impacted by sin. There's no doubt about it. Sin is what Satan is using. And we will have to face tragedies. Just because you get saved does not mean that you will not have to face tragedies. You will have to face tragedies, but you don't have to face them alone. That's abundant life. If you don't have abundant life, then you don't have a walk with God, and you have to face the tragedies on your own with the help of the world, which is after the similitude of the devil, who is really, no matter what he disguises himself to be, he is the adversary that is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And ultimately, not only will you have to face the tragedies of life without God and his promises, you will have to face death without God and his promises. Wow. Do you really want that? Is that what the majority of people want? Sad to say that they're blinded to it. $1.38 million people attempted suicide in the United States of America last year. Because when it came to having to face the tragedies of life, have the help of God. They didn't look to the help of God. And because life, they didn't understand it, didn't appreciate it, they attempted to end it. 1.38 million in the United States attempted to take their own lives. Life is more important than that. The devil wants to kill, and he tries to get you to kill yourself. You know that's what suicide is? Suicide is a person murdering themselves. You want to be, the last act on this earth is be a murderer and murdering yourself, taking your own life. Listen to me, that's the devil doing that. God came, Jesus came to give you more abundant life so that you can get the most out of the life that you have to live, not only here, but it would be in preparation for the everlasting eternal life that you'll have to look forward to as a born again believer. The devil uses. The saved have access to the Father's house. Did you get that? Look at verse 9. I am the door. The door to the Father's house. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Just what we need when we have need, a pasture. Access to the Father's house. I can go in and out. I can come and go. If it's your house, you know what? You can come and go. It's your house. If you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, then you have been given an open door into the family of God. And God the Father is your heavenly Father. And you can take whatever kind of need you have to Him. And you can rely upon Him. You can claim His promises. You can be strengthened by Him in the pasture. where you can feed, you can find peace, you can find joy, even in the midst of tragedies and trials and even death. The saved have access to the Father's house. Even for the saved, though, the only thing that can and will hinder their abundant life is sin. Jesus sets you free. He's given you the what you have need of to overcome it, to destroy those strongholds. Sometimes we drift back. In 1 John chapter 2, let me read to you. Almost done here, so just hang on, get to hold this as we close here. But 1 John chapter 2, in verse 1, the Bible says, "My little children," that means you're a part of the household of God, the family of God. You're one of God's children. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Just because you're saved does not mean that you cannot sin. You still have a free will and you still have the old sinful nature inside of you. You just have a new nature that you can yield to overcome the old nature. But you still have an old nature. God's will for your life, to be able to give you abundant life, spiritual life, and get the most out of it, that you sin not. For a believer to continue in sin, in any sin, is like trying to enjoy life while living in prison. You still have life, but you're limited by the prison walls, which is not abundant life. It's like trying to enjoy living life when you're sick versus when you're healthy. You still have life, but it's harder to have the abundant life. It's harder to get the most out of life. But when you're living as God would have you to live, no matter what it is that you have to face, you can still have the abundant life. The spiritual life. And you call upon it more when you are in trouble. You call upon it more when you are facing illnesses. You call upon it more when you are facing death in the valley of the shadow of death. Listen to me. It's available to us. But we have to choose it. That's why I don't understand. If I understand the importance of life and I understand the abundant life that's available to me, and the only thing that can take away my abundant life is sin, I would want to know if I have sin in my life. And once I learn that I have sin in my life, when God reveals it to me, I want to confess it and forsake it to get it out of my life so that I might have the abundant life. I don't want to just exist. If all I'm doing here is existing, take me on to glory. I want to get all that God has for me to get out of this life, because it's in preparation for my home in heaven. Abundant life here is available to all. What all need in this life is what Jesus is offering us. Will we receive it? Let me just read it one more time. The thief cometh. He's here. Yeah, he's working through a lot of things in this world. Yeah, we're going to be preaching on some of those things, fear, bitterness, unforgiving spirit, so many things. He's working. But he cometh, and he's here for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, and we can claim this, we can look to this promise, I am come that they might have life, spiritual life, and that they might have it more abundantly, that you can get all God wants you to get out of the life that he has for you to live here in preparation for the life in glory. Do you want it? You can have it. If you desire it, you can have it. If I could have every head bowed this morning, every eye closed. Do you desire the abundant life? I trust you do. You have to look to Jesus, and you need to confess and forsake whatever sins that might be in your life. Get rid of them, because that's what the devil's using to hinder you. And receive the spiritual life. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. We thank you for these two verses, and God, as we studied them in context of this entire chapter and book and the entire Bible, it's something that is very powerful that all of us can receive if we just go through the door, which is Christ. Bless now in the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.